Any blessings? Can you think of any blessing tonight? Electricity. Electricity. Amen.
Health.
Safety on the roads. See the cars broke down, trucks broke down. You take a lot for granted.
Food.
Who said that? Okay. Oh, so many blessings we have. We do need to be thankful. Do pray for Sister Tina Johnson. Had eye surgery today too. Pray for her. And I believe Sister Kelly is with Reese and Stacy. So pray for all of them out in New York. And I apologize for any other ones that I missed there. But tonight, let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. And let's see, as long as we have this 1 Thessalonians 5:18 up here, let's keep that because we're going to be coming to that verse real shortly. So why don't we go through that three times together? I'll say the reference, and then if we can say the verse together and the reference. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Amen. And Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Well, Lord, we do thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for just this opportunity to come before your throne and to bring you the praise and the thanks for all that you have done. And we just thank you for salvation, most of all. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord, for just the promise of eternal life and a place prepared for us. We just ask that, Lord, you would help us to look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, then let's go to Luke 17, verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. The title of the message tonight is, Where Are the Nine? Where are the nine? Luke 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And what? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give what? Glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, we're in the midst of praying for revival, and one important ingredient for revival is thankfulness. Thankfulness. And so do we have that in our recipe as we are praying for revival? Have we meditated on that aspect? Are we thankful? And back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. As we read 1 Thessalonians, we'll be back to this, so Luke 17 as well, but 1 Thessalians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's say it a couple times again together. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know, it's so easy when things go wrong to complain and to not be thankful. But, you know, then it ruins witnessing opportunities. There was a matter on the house, and so I went to a lumber yard to ask them some questions and see a product and see if it was fire rated. And so, you know, I could have gone in there and said, you know what, building inspectors are really hard to get along with. You know, I could have gone in there with the wrong attitude. You know, a building inspector is they're just trying to do their jobs. I mean, they have people over them. We have people over us. All of us have people over us in one aspect or another. But anyway, it's just in the flesh, it's so easy to complain. And I could have gone in there and grumbled and complained. But, you know, I went in there and I gave the first guy I met, the desk clerk, a gospel tract. And he said, wait a minute. He said, I thought I recognized you. He said, for over 20 years, I've announced the Belding Parade. He says, you guys are in the parade, aren't you? I said, yes, we are. What kind of a testimony would that have been if I would have gone in there grumbling and complaining? My testimony would have been zero, wouldn't it? But because I went in there just trying to be positive, looking for the right product, it was a wonderful witnessing opportunity. And then I went out in the back and two young guys helped me to look at a product and to see the rating on it. And they readily received gospel tracts as well and were friendly. And you know, if I would have went back out there and grumbled, said, yeah, I've got to find a certain product because, you know, it didn't pass, and grumble, you know what, those guys would have said, you know what, buddy, I don't need what you have because there's enough guys coming in here that are grumbling and complaining. So let's go through it a couple more times together, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So, you know, if we would learn to do that. So here, there's three men that receive a gospel tract, a witness. But when we grumble and complain, when we're not thankful, just think of the opportunities that we miss, because who's going to witness when they're grumbling and complaining? No one. Maybe I shouldn't say no one. I wouldn't. If I'm grumbling and complaining, I'm not going to witness to anyone because I'm going to think, well, they won't pay any attention to what I say now. So, you know, sometimes in life we think it's so hard to know the will of God. Have you ever felt that way? You know, whether it was something you were purchasing or some other important decision you had to make, and so you're thinking, oh Lord, if I could just get on my cell phone and talk to you, you know, if I could just talk to you, Lord, if you could just speak and say what your will is in this matter. Sometimes we get feeling that way, that it's so hard to know the will of God, but look at this verse. Let's say it through again. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This right here tells us what the will of God is, doesn't it? I mean, if someone were to ask us, right after the service, if someone come up to us and said, "Are you in the will of God?" I can remember I was with Sandy and with her folks, and we were down in Grand Rapids many years ago, and I think we were at the old Wealthy Street Baptist Church. It later moved to a different location, and they called it Wealthy Park Baptist Church. And the pastor come up to me and put his finger right in my chest. I mean, not pointing at it. He put it right in my chest and said, "Are you saved?" And years later, we actually had him come. It was Dr. David Otis Fuller. He's with the Lord now. So if someone were to do that to us tonight, maybe we better keep our space. Okay, don't go up and, you know, poke somebody. But if someone were to come up and bluntly say to us tonight, "Are you in the will of God?" What would we say? "Yes. Yes, I'm in the will of God." And then if they were to say, "Why? How? How do you know you're in the will of God?" Let's read through it again. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." You know what? Each of us can be in the will of God. And if someone were to say to us, "Prove it. Prove to me from the scripture that you are in the will of God." "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So there is a very simple thing. And you know, serving the Lord, it's like simple building blocks. It's building one thing upon another. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation isn't a building block that you have to work up to. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be" what? "Saved." Romans 10:13. So salvation is not a process. It's not climbing a ladder. But being in the will of God really involves a lot of different things each day, doesn't it? And one of them is being thankful. So that's a good place to start. You know, it's the opposite of living a covetous life. Notice in Exodus 20. Exodus 20, that's where the Ten Commandments are. Exodus 20. And verse 17, Exodus 20:17 says, "Thou shalt not" what? "Covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." So being thankful for what we have is truly a preventative for falling into covetousness. Being thankful for what we have is a preventative for falling into covetousness. Notice in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians 3, because when we covet, it's on our minds. You know, if you're looking at a new car or a new truck or something, maybe you need a new cell phone, maybe you need, well, I was going to say a new camera. Someone mentioned that not too long ago. You don't see many people carrying cameras around anymore because most people just do it with their phone. So it's one day, I guess, probably obsolete. But Colossians 3 and verse 5, it says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence," and what? "Covetousness," which is what? "Idolatry." When we're covetous, then our heart is set on something. That's, if we're not careful, that's all we can think about. You know, maybe you're pricing a new product, and so your mind is racing, you know, you're thinking about that product, and so you're going to get online and check out the prices, and you might do some phone calls and do some other research, maybe talk to some people that have a similar product, and so, I mean, your mind is just racing. It's kind of like Naomi talking to Ruth about Boaz, and she told her, you know, the man will not be in rest until he gets this settled, you know, this day. So when it comes to being covetous, it can become idolatry to us. It says covetousness, which is idolatry, because it's consuming our thoughts. And so that's where our hearts are. Notice in Matthew 6. So when we're covetous, our hearts are set upon something, and that becomes our treasure. And our treasure should be the Lord. But Matthew 6 and verse 19, Matthew 6:19, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures where? Upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where what? Your treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also. So where our treasure? Where is our treasure tonight? Because whatever is our treasure, that's where our hearts are going to be. But God wants our hearts to be set upon Him. Not covetous for things, but to be set upon Him. So one of the ingredients for revival is thankfulness. So tonight, are we, each of us, are we in the will of God in that matter? Are we thankful? I know we may have faced things this week, maybe rejection, maybe something broke, other things, and it may seem like it's a setback to us, but if we will be thankful, it will actually become a witnessing opportunity for us. So one of the ingredients for personal revival is thankfulness. Secondly, one of the ingredients for a wretched, vile, sinful life is unthankfulness. So once again, one of the ingredients for a wretched, vile, sinful life is unthankfulness. Notice in Romans 1, you may think, wow, is unthankfulness that big of a sin? I mean, is it really that bad? Well, let's see what the Bible says here. Romans 1:18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There was a young man at a store this week, and I went to give him a gospel tract, and he says, I'm an atheist. And he didn't take it at first. And he told us the type of church he was in, and he said, now I'm an atheist. And I told him it was a good life story and to read it. And so he took it. But people who hold the truth in unrighteousness, I pray that young man would get saved. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were what? Thankful. Okay, so when we are not thankful, what happens to us? Well, it goes on. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what? Darkened. Did any of you see the eclipse? Was that Sunday night? Any see it? Okay. We were over in Wisconsin Sunday night and had a good look at it. I don't know if it was cloudy here or clear, but so when the earth gets between the sun and the moon and blocks it out, and there's different types of eclipses, but that was a full eclipse there the other night. So is there something, anything, we're praying for revival, is there anything in our lives that we're allowing to come between us and God, and to block the light we are giving off. I mean, the moon was giving off a lot of light Sunday night until the eclipse, and then it wasn't giving off much. So when we allow anything to get between us and God, we're hindering the light. And so you see here, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto what? Vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. There's that covetousness. I mean, it seems like we think covetousness is not so bad, but here, wow, it's right in the middle of some really what we would think of as big sins. Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have what? Pleasure in them that do them. So verse 32, knowing the judgment of God, they see these people committing these sins. And as they look at that, they do the same and they have pleasure in them that do them. They have pleasure in vile things. So how many families would experience a great revival if the ingredient of thankfulness was inserted into the home? You know, it's sad, isn't it, when we are more courteous to people outside of our family than we are our own family. That's really sad, when we're more courteous to others than to those who are the closest to us. And as we go back to Luke chapter 17, thinking about these lepers, you know, that's what happened with these 10 lepers. One of them was a stranger. The others were Jewish. So the 9 Jewish people never came back to say thank you to Jesus. They never glorified God. They just went on their way, but one came back. If you look at Luke 17, verse 17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save who? The stranger. You know, Jesus used strangers to illustrate many things, many spiritual truths, like compassion. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. How compassionate are we upon others versus with our own family? You know, so many times if there is a need, if we would think, okay, if this was Jesus with this need, what would I do? Well, the answer is quick. If this was Jesus with this need, yes, I would immediately do it. Whatever. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 27, Luke 10:27. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain, what? Priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on what? The other side. And likewise, a Levite. These were the ones who helped the priest. When he was at the place, came and looked on him, and what? Passed by on the other side. But a certain who? Samaritan. So now we have a stranger. This isn't a Jew. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Something the two Jewish people didn't. Verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said unto him, He that, what? Showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. So this was a stranger. So in the case, where are the nine? The only one that came back was the stranger, the Samaritan. In this instance, you have three people that pass by a man who's been attacked and robbed. Only one helps him, has compassion. A stranger, once again, is the one that helped. Notice also in Matthew 15. So Jesus used a stranger to illustrate great compassion. And in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and what? Worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now we could spend a lot of time talking about why didn't Jesus immediately help this woman. And there's a good reason why he did not. But the point I'm just trying to show in this illustrate is that here's a stranger. And Jesus says to her, Great is thy faith. She's willing to put herself in the place of as a dog, willing to accept the crumbs, showing her humility before Jesus. So it is often the person that is the stranger that's more courteous, the stranger that's more compassionate, the stranger that is more filled with faith. So we're praying for revival. Praying for revival. Do we really look at ourselves in the sense that we need to be totally humble before God? That we are so unrighteous and He is so holy. And Are we courteous to God, or are we complaining? Do we complain to Him, or are we courteous? Are we thankful? Let's add the ingredient here of thankfulness. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And let's say it through a couple more times here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We're praying for revival, and this needs to be an ingredient that's in our lives to experience true revival. In closing, let's go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Thinking upon this. And verse 1. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. Can you imagine entering into His gates? The holy city, New Jerusalem. Can you imagine entering into that city grumbling and complaining and coming before God and grumbling and complaining before Him? No, there will not be any of that. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be what? Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. Father, I pray if there are any here tonight that have never been saved, I pray You'd help them to realize that Jesus is the Son of God. God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect sinless life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sins in His own body on the tree, buried and rose again in victory the third day, proving that His blood was sufficient to wash away our sins. And Father, if there should be any here tonight that are not yet saved, help them tonight to repent and to receive Christ Jesus as Savior. Lord, I pray You'd help us as Christians. Lord, we saw the eclipse Sunday night, and we wonder, Lord, is there an eclipse going on in our lives? We know, Father, that revival has to start personally in our own lives first. Is there an eclipse going on? Lord, is there something between us and You that is hindering Your light from reflecting Your glory and pointing others to You? Father, if there is anything or any things that are between us and You, Lord, please reveal those things to us. Lord, we want to be in Your perfect will. We want to see a great awakening, a great revival, a great moving of God in hearts, a great moving in lost sinners to help them to be conscious of their sin, and that they would flee from the wrath to come to You. They'd flee to You for salvation. Lord, it's only a work that You can do in hearts, and we're asking, Lord, You to do that. We're desiring, Lord, to be in Your perfect will, that You might be glorified through our lives. So please have Your way now in Jesus' name. Amen.